morning.
Good morning, Trent.
My name is Trent. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. How many of you would just want to call the intro good? Let's pray and take the offering. And it's a great intro, isn't it? Yeah, I'm so glad that you are here this morning. I just love the opportunity to come each week and to just worship and fellowship with this group of Christ followers. I so enjoy our time together. So thank you for being here. And if you're new, welcome. We are so glad that you are having this time with us this morning. Earlier this week, as I was sharing with the teaching team what I'm going to be sharing with you and kind of going through it, Pastor Bill expressed some concern about my abilities to get through this in the appropriate amount of time in here. And I think, I'm hoping it's because he was looking at how much great material there is in his concern for that. So, you know, I wanted to take that concern to heart. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to go ahead and on the front end of this, I'm just going to give you the fill-in-the-blank answers. Okay? So here they are. It's red, green, 17, blue, sometimes, never, and always. All right? So now you got that part covered. But I figured since I'm saving time here, I added just a couple of extra points for Pastor Bill's sake and for some of the others here in the auditorium this morning, and that is Skol Vikings. We aren't supposed to be political, but we do need to be prayerful, right? So this morning we're going to continue with this Jonah series, and Pastor Josh and Pastor Reese have done an excellent job in helping us to understand this incredible grace that God extends and offers to everyone, including you and I. And this morning we will be taking a look at Jonah, and the ushers have come forward here. If you want a Bible, they'll be happy to give you one. We're going to be looking at Jonah starting in chapter 1, verse 17, and we're going to be going through chapter 3, verse 5. Before we start, let me open us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can come to this place and that we can come into your presence. And we just invite you now, Lord, to come and speak to us. Make your word, your truth come alive in us, God, that we may see afresh the things that you have for us. And may you be at work in us today to change us and make us more like you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Did you ever think about running away as a child? Or did you ever actually run away as a child? I have to confess, I thought about it, but I was too afraid to actually ever do it. My brother, on the other hand, was not afraid to do it. In fact, he ran away on more than one occasion. I'm pretty sure that's why my mom said I was the smarter of the two. No, she didn't say that. She just said I was better looking. So this one day, my brother decides it's time to run away. Okay? So he packs his bag, and like every good child does, he goes and tells mom, I'm running away. I mean, that was always true in our household. I don't know what it's like in yours, but always mom knew because we told her we were thinking about it. So my mom tries to talk him out of it, but Todd's not going to change his mind, and so he takes his bag and out the door he goes. Now in our house, the way that it was situated from our kitchen window where the kitchen sink was, and then from, there's this little dining area right next to it, you could look straight down our block and you could see down the entire block. So my brother's walking down the block and my mom is standing there washing dishes, watching him. And so I figure, well, I might as well watch too. So I sit down and I'm watching. And I grew up in Bloomington, and at that time there was this radio station called WDGY. Some of you may be old enough to remember that. But they had these big, huge radio towers, and this was back in the days where there weren't fences to protect everything, and we as kids always were playing down in that area, and I think that's where my brother was heading. But he got almost to the end of the block there, and he stopped. He turned around and he looked at our house down the block. And he turned around and he looked the other direction. And then he sat down in somebody's front yard there with his feet in the street. And he just sat there. And this whole time, my mom is watching him while she's washing the dishes. And he's sitting, and I'm getting bored. And I'm thinking, keep going, Todd, you can do this. Because I'm thinking, big brother out of the way, life just got better. But he's still sitting. So I'm being bored, I just go into another room and I start goofing around and playing, and eventually my mom comes and she sits at the table and she's looking at the window, and my brother's sitting there, and I come back and he's still sitting there, and I go away and I come back, and eventually I come back and I see mom smiling. And I look out the window and here's my brother slowly walking back down the block towards the house. And so my mom goes out the door and she goes and meets my brother a few houses down. She takes him by the hand. She walks him back home. She gets in the house and she says to my brother, I am so glad you've come back. I love you so much. I think that's the story we see in Jonah this morning and that we've seen over these last couple of weeks. That God never leaves Jonah. He's never out of God's sight or his presence. So let's turn to the scripture. If you want to go to chapter 1, verse 17, and let's look and see how that is true as we walk through this scripture. Chapter 1, verse 17, and the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Now, I know it doesn't seem like it or feel like it, but even right from the beginning, we see God is there with Jonah. He's taking care of Jonah in a way that Jonah doesn't understand. And Jonah was in the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights. And then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, and you heard my voice. Again, we're seeing that God is there. He hasn't turned his back. He hasn't left the presence of Jonah. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. And then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. The weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Still in God's presence. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah. So again, he's still connected to Jonah. The second time saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, and going a day's journey, he called out, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast, and they put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. No matter where Jonah was at, whether he was fleeing on that ship, whether he was sinking in the water, whether he was inside the belly of this fish, or whether he was proclaiming God's message in Nineveh, God never let Jonah out of his sight. God was always there, waiting and wanting Jonah to come back. And when Jonah was ready, God was there, right where he was at. And I believe that there's a little bit of Jonah in all of us. Like Jonah, we can run from God, or we can run to God, or we can run with God. As we heard from both Josh and Reese over these last couple weeks, Jonah's been running from God. God said, I want you to go here. And Jonah said, no, I'm going there. I don't want anything to do with that. But as we see in this prayer in chapter 2, there's beginning to be a change in Jonah. Even as he has himself thrown overboard and he thinks that he's still running from God, he is now starting to run to God. He says, I called out to you in my distress. And now I'm calling out to you with my thanksgiving. And he runs to God. And then as we move into chapter 3, we see just for this moment that he's running with God, where God is saying, I want you to do this. And Jonah says, I will do it. As we are looking at this prayer in chapter 2, there are some who question the sincerity of Jonah's prayer. They wonder if Jonah is just crying out to God in desperation, or whether he's just praying to save his life rather than sincerely trying to talk with God. But I don't think the motivation of Jonah's prayer should be the focal point, or is the focal point. It's God's response. As we look at Jonah here in chapter 2, we see his prayers to God originating out of two different heart attitudes. In chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we see where it says, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Contrast that with what he's saying in verses 9 and 10. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon the dry land. I think it's important for us to see that whether our prayer comes out of affliction or out of affection, God hears us. And he responds. Our affliction or our affection, God always hears and responds to us when we pray. In those first two verses of chapter 2, Jonah's calling out and he makes it clear he is in distress. He makes it clear that he desperately needs God. He's in this place of death and he knows that. And he saw this life passing before him. So in the midst of that, Jonah turns to God. He cries out to him. And in this place of affliction, God hears Jonah and he saves him from death. And later in chapter 2, as there's been this change going on in Jonah while he's inside this fish, we see Jonah in a different place. He's remembering God in his holy temple. And he's grateful and thankful for who God is. And he offers that prayer with a heart of thanksgiving and with sacrifice. And so then God commands the fish to spit him out. And so out of his affection for God, God hears him and saves him from death. God is not only here for us in those times of affliction or just in those times of affection. God is always there for us, just like he has been for Jonah. And when we call out to him and when we pray to him, God hears us and responds. One of the incredible things I love about this story of Jonah is the journey that he's on and how we see him change during this journey. These first 2 weeks, we've seen how Jonah responded to God's initial call. God said, go here. And Jonah said, no, I'm going here. And Jonah makes it clear throughout that he doesn't want anything to do with God or God's plans. And he's running away. And then as he's sinking, as he's tumbling through the water, as he sees his life literally passing before his eyes, he comes to this realization of his incredible need for God. and how awesome God is. And that his running from God has brought him to this place of death. In fact, his running from God is literally destroying his life. But it's here that again we see God's rebounding grace to Jonah and to us. After all that Jonah has done, after going the complete opposite direction, after trying to actually have himself thrown over so that he would die, after being inside of this fish, after his anger and frustration with God, God is still pursuing Jonah. And just like God continued to pursue Jonah, God continues to pursue you and me. And like Jonah, with all his mistakes and sins, it's important for us to understand and to believe and to live out that our past failures and sins don't make us unusable for God. I want you to hear that again. Our past failures and sins don't make us unusable for God. Jonah's made a mess of things. He's been running the wrong direction. He's been trying to avoid God in every way he can. He's expressed his anger and frustration with God, and yet God still pursues him to use him. And the Bible is full of stories of great people of God who have sinned significantly, and yet God still uses them. Think of Abraham. And here's a guy who's traveling with his wife, and he tells the rulers, well, no, this is actually my sister. Right? And he's doing that just to protect himself. And then later, he sleeps with his wife's servant because he doesn't really trust or believe that God's plan for creating a nation is going to work. Or King David, the man Scripture describes as a man after God's own heart, who also sleeps with another man's wife and then has that man placed at the front of the lines in battle so he would be killed in battle. Or maybe it's the man we know as the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. And how, before he became this incredible apostle, he was pursuing the followers of Christ to kill them, put them in prison. Each of these men made mistakes in a variety of different ways, and yet God still used all of them. So no matter my past, your past, our mistakes, our sins, they don't make any of us unusable by God. I want you to hear that this morning. What's happened doesn't make you or I unusable for God. In fact, he is pursuing us to use us for his purposes. His rebounding grace continually invites us back into relationship with him and to be used by him for his kingdom. And it really is amazing when we look at how God used Jonah to accomplish his will. Inside the belly of the fish, Jonah has time to evaluate his life. He has time to evaluate all that he's done, and he realizes that he needs God. And there inside this fish, he's making this commitment, this vow to God. And he simply says, what I have vowed, I will pay. And I think it's a reflection of what's going on in his heart. He's telling God that he's committed to serving him and to following through with what God has asked him to do. So I want you to, he's made that vow, now I want you to picture Jonah. Okay, the guy's been in the belly of a fish for 3 days. What do you think he smells like? Okay? And what do you think it's like? What do you think he looks like after being through that digestive process for 3 days? And add on top of that, from what we can tell, commentators think that he was probably about 550 miles from Nineveh when the fish spit him out. So now he's got a journey ahead of him. The average walking distance in those days was about 20 miles a day. When was the last time any of us walked 20 miles in a day on flat land, right? So think of the math there, 550 miles, 20 miles a day, you're talking almost 28 days of journey to Nineveh. But he had made the commitment that he would fulfill his vow. So he makes this journey, he walks to Nineveh, he gets there, he goes in, and he preaches his sermon. He's fulfilling his vow to God. And here's where I think it continues to get even more interesting. He's done all of that. Now I'm thinking he's been on the road for 28 days, almost a month. He's got time to be thinking about what he's going to preach, what he's going to proclaim, what's the sermon. And, you know, I'm thinking that, you know, you think about some fill-in-the-blank stuff, some good stories, right, a couple jokes, and there you go. That's not what happened. I'm not a guy who understands Greek and Hebrew, but as I've read and prepared for this, what's clear is that Jonah, in the original Hebrew, had a five-word message. Five words. For us, you know, to help us understand it, when it gets translated, it's eight words. And he hears those eight words. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's in chapter 3, verse 4. That's it. Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Well, let's look at the scripture again here. See what happens after that. And in verse 5 we read, "And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them." Five words, and it changed the hearts of the people and the leaders. What I think the scripture is making clear to us is that our willingness to is more useful to God than our talents. Our willingness is more useful to God than our talents. Jonah was willing to make that difficult journey. Jonah was willing to go and share those five words. It wasn't this incredible, fabulous sermon that knocked, you know, the wind right out of him. But his willingness is something that God used. All through this first two chapters, we've seen Jonah fighting against God. And then he finally recognizes his need for God, and he gives in. And it's true. Jonah's been a prophet. He's been used by God. He's got talents and skills. God has given you and I talents and skills and passions, and he wants to use those, and he will use those. But like Jonah, we need to discover that we need to let God be God and be willing to do what he asks us to do. And when we do, when we're willing, God accomplishes great things. As we look at the scripture and as we look at what's going on in Jonah's life, I think we see some clues to a pretty significant change that has been occurring in Jonah. In chapter 1, verse 2, and in chapter 3, verse 2, the ESV uses almost identical language. And God is speaking, and he says to Jonah to go to Nineveh, to call out against it, is what he says in chapter 1. Call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. And then in chapter 3, 2, it says, call out against it, the message that I tell you. So a very small change there. I think sometimes for me, maybe for you, it's helpful to look at some different translations to more fully understand what's happening here. So many of the other translations, like the NIV or the King James or the New King James, New American Standard, New Century Version, they use just a little bit different language in chapter 3 that I think gives me a more full understanding of what's happening, and I think for you as well. In chapter 3, the language is, I want you to go and preach the message I give you. Or I want you to go proclaim the message I give you. I think God says that because he knows Jonah's heart is in a different place. Early in this story, we know how much Jonah hated the Ninevites, how much he did not want God to go and help them in any way. But if he was going to go, he certainly was going to go with this heart of, I'm going to go preach against all their evil. But God's been continuing to extend his grace to Jonah, to show them, to show him continuously along this journey. And wherever he's been, God's inviting him back. And that God continues to give him grace, not because Jonah's done anything to deserve it, but because God loves him and gives it to him freely. And so Jonah's heart is changing. And now God is saying, I want you to go share that same message, that message of grace and love and truth to a people. All through this journey, Jonah fighting God and resisting him. And now God has made change. And that God isn't changing the heart of his message. He's changing the heart of Jonah, his messenger, all through this journey. On the other side of the back walls here, many of you may be aware that we have some scripture on those walls. Over here, it's Matthew 22. And it's referred to often as the Great Command. And it's out of that section of scripture that we as a church have our mission statement. And our mission statement is simply this, that we want to glorify God by loving him and all people through obedience to his word.
Amen.
That's what we're seeing in Jonah. A willingness to go and love all people through obedience to God. And over here on this wall we have Matthew 28, often referred to as the Great Commission. And that's where we as a church have really put the foundation of our vision statement. And our vision statement is this, that we want to become a people who are fully engaged in living a life of love at all times, in all places, with all people, so that every person that we encounter can come to know, love, and follow Jesus. Amen. That is who we want to be. But at times, I think that all of us, in one way or another, like Jonah, we have run from God, and we need his rebounding grace. And really, like Jonah, I think God has put people in our lives, people at work, people in our neighborhoods, people in our families. But he's placed us strategically. He's positioned us next to them so that we can share his message of love, grace, forgiveness, and mercy. At times we have all run from this because we don't like those people in Nineveh, quite honestly. And I believe that we all have Ninevites in our life. People that, for whatever reason, we think are unworthy of God's love. People who aren't worthy of receiving God's message. God made it clear to Jonah, and he's making it clear to all of us that everyone is worthy of God's love. And the challenge today is for each of us to let God change our hearts. To understand the incredible grace that he has given to you and I in our lives, and then to extend and to offer that message of love and grace to a hurting world that needs God's love. So my question for each of us today is, who have we turned our backs on? Who are we refusing to share God's love with? Consciously or subconsciously? how did we come to those decisions? Was it because of their lifestyle, their choices, their activities, their politics, their gender preferences or identity, their religions or their religious beliefs? Did they turn us off and make us mad somehow, like Nineveh did with Jonah? Those categories don't make people less valuable to God.
Amen.
But somehow, we've let them become less valuable to us. I want to encourage us all, as people who are followers of Christ, that we need to remember who God is.
That's right.
He is the creator of all things, and He is the creator of all people. And His desire is to be in an eternal relationship with every one of His creations. Every person. And God has called each of us, like Jonah, to go and proclaim His message of love and forgiveness, of mercy and grace, to everyone that we encounter, including those that we don't like or have a difficult time with. And so my hope and my prayer is that for each of us, we will ask God to show us where that's at. And that we will let God work in us to change our heart like He did Jonah. And that our prayer would become, God, I am willing to share Your love with everyone I encounter. This morning, maybe you're like the residents of Nineveh. And that you need to hear that God loves you, that He cares for you, that He wants an eternal relationship with you, that there's nothing in your past that will keep Him from you. And God desires that relationship so much with you that He sent His Son, as the book of John tells us. That whoever would believe in Him wouldn't perish, but would have eternal life. And He goes on to tell us that He didn't send His Son to condemn us, to condemn this world, but to save us through Him. So if that's you this morning, I want you to know that you can come into that relationship with God, right where you're at, by simply acknowledging to Him your sins and your mistakes, and that you can't make it through this life on your own, that you need Him, that you need Jesus to be the Savior of your life, and that you are willing and wanting to follow Him. And if that's you, or if you've got questions about that, I just would encourage you to find any of the staff afterwards, or get back to Guest Connections and find us there. We'd love to answer any questions you have about that. Or if you came with somebody, ask them about it. And if you're looking for a way to more fully understand this story of God's grace and love and forgiveness, or for a way to share this story with others, I want to encourage you to consider attending the story on Wednesday nights here at Trinity. Pastor Tim leads that, and he leads us through a discussion about that story of God's love and forgiveness and His grace. And through that discussion, we're able to get a fresh perspective on how to understand it and how to share it with others. And so if you have a question about that as well, please find Pastor Tim or myself or any of the staff, and we'll answer those for you as well. So as we look at this message of Jonah, the story of Jonah, the heart of God's message has never changed. His rebounding grace, His love, never changes. But the heart of His messengers, you and I, needs to change often. And may that be our prayer today, that God would change our hearts to go where He calls us to go. As we begin to close the service, and as the worship team comes forward, there's just a couple of things I want to remind you of and draw your attention to. think Valerie mentioned this at the beginning of the service, but if you missed it, I want to encourage you in your bulletins. You have this blue and white connection card, and it's extremely helpful for us if you can complete that each week and drop that in the offering bag as it comes by. It helps us to know how we can care for you, how we can be praying for you. If there's questions that you need help with and or places you need to get to, so please fill those out. And again, if you're new here, welcome. Glad that you are here. We truly do want to be a people who care for each other and take care of each other. And so we'd love the opportunity to get to know you. I would encourage you as well, please fill out that connection card and drop that in the offering bag or bring it back to Guest Connections. There will be staff there waiting to meet you and to answer any questions that you have. Just so you know, the connection cards are also on the Trinity app, and so you can complete that under the welcome section also. Then I do want to take time to thank those of you who have continued to give financially to support the ministries and the work of this church. We really do believe that that's primarily the role of those who call Trinity home. And we want to be a people who don't give out of compulsion, but that we give out of generosity. And so if you're a member or a regular attender here, we just ask, will you be in prayer about that? Talking with God about how He wants you to give. And if you're new this morning, please feel free to let that offering bag pass you by as well. And then lastly, I want to remind you that next weekend is a big weekend for us. Kevin Crawford, who we mentioned last week, we believe that God's leading him here to be our next lead pastor. I probably should have said that different. And so next weekend, he's going to be here Saturday. There are going to be two sessions, one from 9 to 11 and one from 1 to 3, where there will be a chance to come and hear Kevin share about who he is and his thoughts and his visions and heart, and there will be an opportunity for some questions during that time as well. And then on Sunday morning, he will be preaching during both services. And then after, immediately following the second service, those who are members of Trinity will be asked to stay and vote on calling Kevin as our lead pastor. So just be clear, Sunday will not be a time for questions and discussion on who Kevin is. It'll be a time about voting him into as our lead pastor. So will you join me in prayer? God, thank you for continuing to show us through Jonah your grace for us, your love for us, that you continue to pursue us, God, and that nothing we do makes us unusable for you and by you. And God, I pray that you would help each of us as well to extend that same grace to those that you've put us next to who need to hear and to see and to experience your love. And God, as we give this morning to you of our finances, Lord, use it for your kingdom purposes. And Lord, may we continue to give not out of, we feel like it's an obligation, but out of a desire to worship you with our giving and to let you use it as you see fit for your kingdom. We pray all these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.